ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text number 20. Yad richchaya gatam tatra tadasya pramadottamam. Vritcha dashadi at ayantim ekakka satanayakai yadrichchaya gitam tatra tadasya prama dhotamam vritcha dashadi ayantim Yadrichaya. All of a sudden.
All of a sudden
without engagement.
All of a sudden without engagement.
Agatam. Arrive. Tatra. There. Tadasha, he saw Pramada, one woman, Uttamam, very beautiful, Vrichai, surrounded by servants, Dasabhi, ten, Ayantim, coming forward, Eka Eka, each one of them. Satta of hundreds, Nayakai, the leaders. While wandering here and there in that wonderful garden, King Paranjana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The body has already been compared to a beautiful garden. During youth, the sex impulse is awakened and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. In youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination, if not directly. The intelligence influences the mind, and the mind controls the 10 senses. 5 of these senses gather knowledge and 5 work directly. Each sense has many desires to be fulfilled. This is the position of the body and the owner of the body, Paranjana, who is within the body. So we're discussing this analogical story composed by Narada Muni, which discusses the spirit soul, eternal spirit soul, embodied in a material body, and how we, the spirit souls, become entrapped in material existence and thereby become entangled and forced to take body after body. And this is the analogy of King Paranjana, one who is embodied. So Srila Prabhupada describes at the end of this purport, he says, this is the position of the body and the owner of the body, Paranjana, who is within the body. So this knowledge is nicely elaborated. Again, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's still a summary because it's a very detailed knowledge, but the summary is quite a complete summary. And in the 13th chapter, chapter 24, Krishna says this. So, 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 24. Yaribam vidhi purusham prapachin chagunai saha savata vatamanopi nasabuyo vijayate. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Purport. Clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has, by chance, fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and the spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. A very nice purport there to that Bhagavad Gita 13:24. And so Srila Prabhupada does emphasize that, well, to put it in his own words, that, you know, philosophy is not meant for armchair speculators. So, actually, even since the time of, for thousands of years, going back in ancient Rome, philosophers in those days, ancient Rome, they would like to drink wine and sit and discuss philosophy. And the idea was to, I think they used to drink in cups made of amethyst, because it was said that if you drink in an amethyst cup, you don't get intoxicated, right? You've heard that. So they had, there was a whole science to how to drink as much wine, more wine than the other philosophers, not get drunk, and talk great philosophy. Have a good time like that. And actually, to this day, that actually, that process is still going on. There's a person I know. When I first met him, I met him at his birthday party. He was so intoxicated; he was like a crazy madman. That was my first introduction. So then I asked him what he did, and he's a professor at the university. And he was given like a $20,000 grant to, you know, present and expand different philosophies and teach that to his students. And of course, I could see that he was spending some of that on his birthday party. But, you know, this is very common. So, but actually philosophy, as Prabhupada says, that one who has perfect knowledge, they're liberated. If someone is not liberated, they're still in ignorance. So, you know, just sums up that everything quite clearly there. Srila Prabhupada has that ability to, you know, take the essence and just cut through all the nonsense. So one is not liberated. One should understand that basically one is a rascal. And this is according to the Bhagavad Gita. Liberated means that somehow or another one is understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is emanating from him, and one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one is does not surrender unto the Personality of Godhead, they're either mudha, rascal, lowest among the mankind, the knowledge is stolen by illusion, or they're just an out-and-out demon. So here we're studying this knowledge, and as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that by understanding this knowledge, he will not take birth again here, regardless of his present position. So this is the purpose for us hearing this knowledge. So. Here we see how the spirit soul contacts the material intelligence. So from there a big mistake happens. So we understand that in most things, once you make a mistake, everything you do after that point just expands that mistake, just compounds that mistake. If you're doing mathematics and you add up the 2 and 2 equals 5, and then you multiply that by 3,
subtract 4.
Yeah, doesn't matter what you do. You know, being an astrologer, I've learned this the hard way, because I had to learn the Vedic maths through the Indian books. Indian books are not very well edited, so sometimes what they do is, instead of putting the decimal place in the right spot, they move it here or there. So I'm trying to learn mathematics, right? So sometimes I'd spend hours, you know, it just doesn't work, you know. And then I realise they've put the decimal place, just an editorial mistake, in the wrong spot, and then when I move it back, it all falls into place. Yeah. So, from the so literally, I had to edit the books to work out the maths. So here we're doing some editing. We're editing our life to work out where the original mistake was made. And this is point we're at. So it's quite crucial information. So according to the Bhagavad Gita, and it says, one who understands the soul, the super soul, of course. The Supreme Lord is actually the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, and the owner. So we've discussed this, that within the body there are two souls. There is the supreme soul and the individual soul. The mistake is here, where the spirit soul becomes attracted to the material intelligence, which is going to facilitate the misunderstanding that we can somehow enjoy the material nature independently. So, but actually, according to the Bhagavad Gita, the actual enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the spirit soul, who is the part and eternal, atomic particle, spiritual particle, spiritual person, enjoys in by assisting or cooperating with the Supreme Lord to enjoy. So, there's a, in the, I think it's the Hita Bhadesh, there's the story. The children have probably done this play, I don't know, they probably know it if I tell them. I've done this play many times, where you have the stomach and the five senses. Has anyone seen that play? So we used to dress up, we'd make our cardboard, and one is the eyes, so the five senses for enjoying form, beautiful forms, for touch, for beautiful sounds. So we've heard in these descriptions how Paranjana, the body is compared to this beautiful garden, where all the five senses for enjoyment, there's an allurement of all the five senses for the enjoying the objects of the senses by the senses of the body. So, we enjoy beautiful form, pleasing touches. We saw in the previous verse, the body was compared to an atmosphere where there's beautiful trees and the banks of rivers, and there's water particles being carried by the spring air coming down the mountain, and there's birds making beautiful sounds. So, the different sounds represent the objects for, hearing. The beautiful sight of the trees blowing in the wind, and the lakes and all the different varieties of animals represent the form, enjoying beautiful form, and the water droplets coming from the waterfalls represent taste, and the breeze itself represents enjoying touch, and to leave anything out, there should be five there. So in this way, the five senses of the body. So in this play, you dress up as the five senses, and then someone dresses up as the stomach. So what happens in this story is that the five senses decide we're going on strike. So this is a familiar theme in this world. People love striking. They're striking in Hong Kong, they're striking in Melbourne, they're striking in here. So the senses, go on strike. Why is the stomach the enjoyer and we're doing everything for him? We want equal rights. We just want to, there's the goal of Jaman. We demand, it's ours. So what happens is, every time there's some nice food or, the different objects for the, to enjoy, instead of giving it to the stomach, they keep it for themselves. So, the eye is looking at the gulab jamun, oh, that's wonderful, yeah, it's mine, or mine, and they're trying to touch them. But actually, after some time, they all start to become weak. And then they all gradually pass out and fall on the floor. And then you know, in the play, the devotee comes in and they ask him, oh, you know, we don't understand what is happening. Oh, you're supposed to work in cooperation with the stomach. So actually, you know, so Prabhupada, you know, gives the example that, you know, if you pick up the Gulab Jamun, the Rasagula, you know, the hand cannot enjoy independently of the stomach. But by taking that Gulab Jamun, Rasagula, placing in the mouth, goes to the stomach, then the hand actually enjoys, becomes fully nourished, and all the different parts of the body feel completely satisfied. So the Gita teaches us that our enjoyment is like that. It's not that we're not enjoyers, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Purush. We have all the same qualities as the Personality of Godhead. Actually, one of the first mantras that a child hears after birth is the name-giving ceremony. And in that name-giving ceremony, you know, you ask the father, you speak the name of the child into their ear and tell them that you are immortal and have the same qualities as God. It's the first thing a child hears. So we are also Purush in that sense. We're a person who seeks out enjoyment or pleasure in that sense. But because our constitutional position is primarily Prakriti, that which is enjoyed by the Personality of Godhead, we enjoy as the Lord enjoys our, you know, service, bhakti, our love, we enjoy in reciprocation with the Lord in that way. So this is, and so the mistake is to not understand our position as we're eternal, we're Prakriti, that which is enjoyable for the Personality of Godhead, but in that cooperative spirit, we actually enjoy automatically without separate endeavor. So that is the mistake. But here, this particular verse, that here Paranjana, he sees something that appears to be more attractive than that. Here is this beautiful woman. So, of course, you know, as Prabhupada explains, that in youth, a man or a woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination, if not directly. So, whether one is a man trying to enjoy the opposite sex, or one is a woman trying to enjoy the opposite sex, they're both Purusha. They're both Purusha. Anyone who tries to enjoy the material energy, they're both Purusha. And it doesn't matter whether you consider the third sex, which is, you know, so many different varieties. Anyone who tries to enjoy the partner, one is the enjoyer predominantly. You find in any relationship. In any relationship, one is, you know, more predominant as the enjoyer, and the other is more receptive as enjoyer. It doesn't matter what relationship, how you name it, but that is always there. And so, for everyone, so it's not, you know, gender-based, this philosophy. You have to understand the male factor simply means the person trying to enjoy what is enjoyable, and in any relationship that exists. So, and this is the beauty of this philosophy, is that people get very confused. Oh, what about this sex? What about that sex? No, same philosophy. You don't have to change the philosophy. It applies to everyone. So, here, the Paranjana, the spirit soul, comes in contact, and it says here that he suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman, indicating that in every, you know, in human life and in every species of life, there comes a particular time where, by providence, one becomes, the body changes to such a point that one becomes attracted to one's mate, to search for a mate, to enjoy the reproductive process of that, which we commonly call sex. So in one sense, it's not premeditated, but it's somewhat providential. It's going to happen. therefore Prabhupada mentioned previously that children, at a certain age, there's no sex attraction. They look at the other sex, doesn't do anything. They're just, a boy will look at a girl and they'll just think, they're not much fun to play with. play with the boys, climb some trees. They just avoid them. they want to play a different game. The attraction's not there. But at a certain stage, things change because of the body. And at that stage, this here, where the intelligence comes in the form of the enjoyable, so we're speaking in terms of the beautiful woman, or that which is enjoyed. And Bhagavati, she's without any engagement. That will come later. But she's looking for engagement. She's looking for activity. That becomes described. Here it describes she has 10 servants with her, and each, they're the 10 different senses, and each servant has hundreds of wives accompanying him, so many different desires to be fulfilled by all the different 10 senses. So, now, at this point, of course, if, as the story unfolds, we see that what will happen is that Paranjana, the spirit soul, will become, in his attempt to enjoy the material intelligence that controls the 10 senses to interact with the objects of senses for enjoyment. In fact, he wants to take the position of the enjoyer, but ends up becoming a servant of the queen, the beautiful woman, with the 10 servants, the senses, and the hundreds and hundreds of attendants that follow. So, if one tries to, our natural position is to be the servant. So we either serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in cooperation we enjoy. If we don't serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we serve the material energy. But when we serve the material energy with serving millions, unlimited desires, and 8,400,000 different bodies, our enjoyment is basically imagination or dreamlike. Because really what we're tasting again and again is birth, death, old age and disease in so many different varieties. Trouble is that generally, people do not actually accept, one, that there is a spirit soul. And of course, if people cannot understand the spirit soul, they cannot understand the personality of Godhead. The first step in understanding that there exists a supreme proprietor, a supreme controller, the personality of Godhead, is to understand our own spiritual nature. And if we cannot understand that, we don't go any further. Understand, therefore, from the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the nature, it has been described that those who are seers of the truth, they conclude, the nature of the soul is unchanging. And the nature of the body, it is constantly changing. So they're two different things. They can't be the same thing. You know, one thing never changes, and one thing's always changing. How can they be the same thing? So, the Hinishman, the hair, the soul, you know, the body, our body has changed so many times, from little child and then to old age, gradually death. But we know we're the same person. We never ever change. But the body is continually changing. Even scientifically, this is proven. You know, that every 7 years, you know, practically everything in your body is just different. There's just new elements. But we're the same person. So, identifying yourself as an eternal soul, but then the Gita points out, but the Supreme Soul has those same spiritual qualities, but where we are conscious, we're Satchitananda, we're eternal, we're conscious, a living entity. This is also the nature of the spirit soul, is it's conscious, but the body, there's no consciousness. And we're pleasure-seeking, Ananda. The Supreme Soul has same Satchitananda Vigraha, eternal, conscious, blissful form, but unlimited. So the Super Soul is conscious in all bodies. So we make that distinction. People cannot understand that, but if there's a process of knowledge, that process of knowledge is actually given in the same Bhagavad Gita chapter, text number 13, that I'll read that just very quickly. Verses 8 to 12. There's a whole list there. Shall I read?
Yeah.
Why not? Verses 8 to 12, 13th chapter. Beginning with humility, all these things are the process of knowledge. How to acquire complete transcendental knowledge. Humility begins with there. If we think we know everything, we've got a problem from the very start. So we're going to have to learn from someone. Pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, that becomes the main approach. Because as Prabhupada points out, if we approach a bona fide spiritual master and under his guidance practice bhakti, all these other items of knowledge we can practice. So, and all the good qualities we can practice. They'll come automatically. If we don't approach a bona fide spiritual master, none of these things will happen. So he goes on. Cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. As we see here, this is, you know, it's being attracted to that through the material intelligence, but we become entangled. So we have to renounce it to get out of that situation. Absence of false ego, I'm not this body. The perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, one body after another, that's the problem. Same problem in all forms of life. Detachment. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest. As you see, that Paranjana is about to become entangled in all these things. Even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. Constant and unalloyed devotion to me. So this bhakti, that is, so under the guidance of the spiritual master, learning bhakti and all other aspects of knowledge will come. The whole process of knowledge will unfold and all good qualities for acquiring knowledge will come. So they're the two main things. Aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, so we described that previously, you know, don't follow like sheep and goats to your slaughter, life after life. Accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. So we should understand ourselves in relationship to the complete whole or the absolute truth. We can never understand ourselves unless we understand it in relationship to the supreme whole or the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So that process, if one takes up that process, then one can actually come to the point of understanding the personality of Godhead as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme controller. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he used to say, don't try to act, don't try to work in such a way, you know, with your mind, your intelligence, or your body, or your words, don't try to act in such a way that you can see God. Act in such a way that God will see you. So that is the process of bhakti. That the inconceivable, unlimited. Here, Krishna, he's personally presenting himself. Otherwise, we would have, there is no way that we can ever understand the inconceivable, unlimited, absolute truth unless he reveals himself. And Krishna is speaking here in the Bhagavad Gita. But to understand the Bhagavad Gita also, you know, one has to follow that process. If we hear from the representatives of Krishna, we hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will allow us to understand him. But if we hear the same Bhagavad Gita, not in a submissive way, from the bona fide representative of Krishna, but we speculate on Gita, the Gita will have no value to us. It's a waste of time. So, so this is exactly what we're doing here. That process of knowledge is exactly what we're practicing here, and by that, actually the Lord reveals himself. And what we understand then is this inconceivable truth. There's what does it say? Savam kalvidam brahma. So that everything in existence is brahma or spirit. So everything within everything within existence basically comes down to energy. Right? The book, the table, the body, the soul. The super soul, everything comes down to energy, and that energy is called Brahma. And Krishna says that he is Parabrahma, or the supreme Brahman, the origin of the impersonal Brahman, the origin of the super soul, the origin of the individual souls, and the origin of the material cosmic manifestation, which is, you know, the material energy is like a cloud. A temporary manifestation from which, within the spiritual sky, from which all the material universes appear. It's like, in one sense, a transformation of the Brahma. And that's what, and this is what we're hearing here. That we're studying that everything is spirit. And this whole cosmic manifestation and the living entities, the spirit souls within it, are resting upon that Brahman. But we are somehow entrapped within these material bodies in this, you know, material part of the spiritual sky, instead of actually, we have the freedom if we want, we don't have to stay here. If we want, we can actually leave this little material cloud within the spiritual sky and go to the spiritual planet and enjoy an eternal blissful life. That's the opportunity that we all have. How to do that? By understanding what is the nature of this Brahman and these bodies and the soul. By understanding that, that helps you to get out. How do we get in? And what is it we're trapped in? And how to get out? That's what we're understanding. And if I can get out of this material cloud and material manifestation, then we go to the spiritual abode and enjoy the supreme enjoyer. So, you know, through the process of hearing from the representatives of Krishna, practicing bhakti yoga, purifying our senses. Now, if we understand that everything is non-different from the Supreme Lord, what we come to understand is that all our senses are in fact not ours, but the Absolute Truth's. That's the point. So if we understand everything is a manifestation ultimately of Spirit, and that Supreme Spirit is Krishna, then basically all our senses are Krishna's. That's the point of it. Now that's a crucial understanding. So because that's a very crucial understanding. So we'll look at that. We'll come back to that thought. But let's look at that same chapter, Bhagavad Gita. There's so much in the Gita in explaining this verse. 13th chapter. Krishna describes. He analyzes. You know what are these? What is the field of activities? So we've discussed that. You know, the knower of the field, the body. And what is the field of activities? And Krishna says, in verses 6 and 7, he says, Mahabhutani hankaro buddhira vyakta eva cha indriyani daishakam cha pancha chandriya gochara icha desha shukam dukkam sangatas chaitana viti etat kshetram samasena sa vikram udharatam. So he describes, the end of this verse is, in summary, all this is considered to be the field of activities and its interactions. So this is what it is. The five great elements. Okay, I'm going to do a little quiz here. What are the five great elements?
Earth, water, fire.
Earth, water, fire. Ether. Ether, air, that's right. That's called Mahabhuta. False ego, also called ahankara. Now, we're working, this understanding, in one sense, is working from where we are. We're in this body made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Where did that come from? There's a very detailed description in Srimad Bhagavatam that these elements manifest from the ahankara. They actually transform into the earth, water, fire, air. So we're working back. So ahankara is a stage of the material energy. Now, and then here, the five great elements, false ego, intelligence. Intelligence is called buddhi, sometimes called mahatattva. So again, we're talking about the material energy. We're going from the gross aspects of the material energy, gradually we're going to get back to subtle, back to Brahman. The five gross elements, they're actually manifesting from the ahankara, which is a stage of the material energy in ignorance. Especially, there's a strong aspect of tama, guna. Previous to that is the mahatattva, which has more rajasic element, and is sometimes called the buddhi, or it's where our material conceptions, material intelligence or material conceptions. So that mahatattva stage of the material energy is the cause of the ahankara, false ego stage of the material energy, from which the five great elements come. Now, previous to the Mahatattva, which is called buddhi, you get avyakta, or prakriti, or pradhan, the same thing, and which is the cause of those other things, and that is the material nature, where the modes of material nature are unmanifested. And there's more sattvic. As the modes become more rajastic, we get the mahatattva, and more tamasic we get the ahankara, and then gradually we get the different elements like that. So this body, keep in mind that this body, which is a product of everything in total, in its subtle way, right down to the gross manifestation, they're all included to make this body. So you're taking from the substance, which always remains in its subtle, you know, most subtle form, and the gross forms are all, they're all actually there within the body. The subtle aspects of the material nature and this gross manifestation, they're all complete within the body. And then it says, then we get the 10 senses in the mind. So we've got 10 senses. You've got 10 senses for, 5 senses for acquiring knowledge. What is that? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. Very good. 5 senses for working. What is that? Hands, legs, voice, anus, genital. Very good. I'm just trying to shortcut. So, and then the 11th sense, which is more internal, is the mind. That's it. So, and then we have 5 sense objects, which are enjoyed by the senses. What are they? Sound, touch, form, taste, smell. Exactly. Right? Now, there's 24 there. Anyone counting? There's 20. Make sure you do your maths right. My mistake, I've got a problem. 24 elements there. And then, if we take the aggregate, it ends up as a material body. Now, he goes on to say that then there are the life symptoms and convictions. Right? Now, when we say the life symptoms, that this is called that, you know, these elements are mixing, and he gives examples of these. That if we take the 5 great elements, the body, then the symptoms is you get desire, it's icha dvesha, or desire and hatred. So in some of it gets too hot and it touches your senses, or fire, you get hatred. You know, you get a nice cooling breeze, oh yes, more of that. You know, turn the fan on like that. And that's the interactions related to the gross material body. The interactions related to the subtle body are described as chetana, and or, you know, the symptoms of knowledge and thinking in different ways. So you understand, well, here is a living being. How's that? Well, the symptoms of life are there. There's thinking, you know, even the tree. You see a tree, the symptoms of life there. It wants to move where it gets more sunshine, so many different things. And you know, the different convictions. So those things, they're part of the 24 elements, but they show that, you know, the interactions that are manifest, you know, in those elements. And then, now basically, that is the body, that is the field of activity, and all bodies undergo 6 transformations. They appear, there's birth, they stay for some time, they reproduce, they dwindle, the byproducts. No, what did I say?
After appearing, they grow.
Grow, yes, there's growth. So 6. And gradually dwindle and vanish at that. So that is the field of activities, which is different from the soul, because the soul doesn't undergo, the soul is changeless. So therefore, we should identify ourselves, the living entity, as the soul and not the field of activities. So here we understand this field of activities, and if we look at that, we come back to that point. What do we see there? The Lord's material energy has manifested all our senses and the objects of the senses. It's all His. What am I doing being a thief trying to enjoy it? And this is the beginning of liberation. It's because, you know, I'm, you know, wrongly seeing myself I'm identifying myself as a field of activities, or, you know, the enjoyer of the field of activities. Either way, I'm wrong. And therefore, you know, I've caused problem, I've caused a difficulty for myself. So, these things can be understood by bhakti, just as we're doing now, by hearing from Krishna, that's bhakti. So we're doing bhakti now. Very easy. You hear by, and then Krishna will help. You hear from someone else, you not understand, because they don't understand. You actually have to hear from someone who at least understands, as that's Krishna, Prabhupada. So then, we get back to this point here, give me a couple of minutes to summarize, that actually all the senses and the objects of the senses are not different from the Lord's own energies. Originally, we get back to the subtle material energy, which is like a reflection of the spiritual energy. It's like a shadow of the spiritual energy, and we understand that we should be trying to get back to the out of the material energy and into the spiritual energy, where there are spiritual planets. If there is variety within the reflection, there must be variety within the actual reality. If this material world, which is a reflection of the spiritual reality, is full of variety, there must be that variety in the spiritual world. So don't be like the jackal. You know, the jackal trying to get the grapes, and it keep jumping to get the grapes, and it couldn't get the grapes. And so the jackal says, oh, there must be sour anyway, and walks away. So that is the impersonalists, you know, the Mayavadis. Don't be like the jackal. You know, it's there. The grapes are there. We offer them to Krishna, we can eat the prasad. So therefore, we've got to turn our mentality that we shouldn't be like Ravana. He wants to enjoy the energy of God or the property of God, symbolized by Sita, Jimai. But all he can actually enjoy is the false Sita. Because, you know, Ravana never actually got the real Sita. He only got the false Sita. And therefore there was a false happiness. And by trying to enjoy the property of God, he brought destruction upon himself and his entire dynasty. And this is the lesson we learned from the Ramayana. So we shouldn't be like that. So, therefore, a very basic verse, I mean, they're all basic, but they're all very powerful. If you understand one, you understand one of these verses properly, Prabhupada says, you'll go back to Godhead. So just pick one, try and understand. That's a fact. I think one time Prabhupada said, if you understand one word properly, you know, you'll understand that everything. You just got to understand, you know, one part of the Gita properly, because that means you have to understand in context. A little trick to that. But anyway, here says 334, Indriyas yendriyasyate rakadvesho vyavastito tayav navasam agachit tauhyasya paripantano. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion. And as we said, attachment and aversion are symptoms that were on the platform of identifying with the body, the field of activities. If attachment and aversion are there, we're not on the spiritual platform. We're on the platform of identifying with the field of activities. But to regulate that, there are principles. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. And this is the big mistake that Paranjana is about to make. In the form of the beautiful intelligence with the senses, already to enjoy the objects of the senses according to one's attachment and aversion. So, now, so the process of bhakti, not only by the process of bhakti does Krishna reveal himself and reveal, help us to understand the Gita and our position, but the process of bhakti also regulates our senses, our mind and senses. Engages all the senses, so they're not, you know, we're not climbing up the wall going crazy, and gives us a higher taste by which we have the strength to, you know, the spiritual strength to follow the path of self-realization and success. So it's all within that process of bhakti. And we see here that Prabhupada gives this example, just as a final example before you all walk out. Arjun, and this is the story of the Bhagavad Gita, that in the very beginning, Arjun was considering my senses, just like Paranjana. My senses are meant for my enjoyment and the enjoyment of my friends and family, and he was thinking in those terms. And as you see with Paranjana, gradually, because you know that the nature of enjoyment is we tend to enjoy, you know, as Prabhupada says, honesty amongst thieves. You know, someone steals something and they, you know, divide it equally for everyone's enjoyment. You know, so that's how we enjoy the material world. So Arjuna was thinking like that, and then he understood actually everything, including my senses, belong to Krishna, and that I must, if I engage my senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses, Hrishikesha, the Supreme Lord will be, you know, very blissful, and I will be blissful in cooperation with the blissful activities of the Lord. So the same teaching to the Gita is the same thing we're hearing here and in this story. And these are so very nicely described in Bhagavad Gita, and this story here is, you know, expanding those teachings. And of course we see that taking that principle of Arjuna, we can take the principles from Ambarish Maharaj, who engaged all of his senses. So, you know, he'd engage his eyes in looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, his head bowing down. We can engage all our senses unlimitedly in the blissful activities of the Krishna consciousness. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Jai. Excellent. All right, no doubts, no challenge, no.
Looking forward to the next chapter.
Yes,
Jai.
The senses that then we also have the desire coming from, you know, you said the material nature, everything belongs to Krishna, senses are given to Krishna.
Yes.
And then we have the, you know,
yes.
And then we have the desire. But here it says that the thing, the same senses, there are hundreds and hundreds of desires of coming to the senses.
Yeah. So that is explained here in the same chapter, 13th chapter. It's amazing what you find in them. There's in verse 22 he says, Purusha Prakatisto hi abhunte prakati janaganam. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. So, if we associate with the material energy in a particular mode, like in tamas, rajas or sattva, our desires will be spring forth according to what we're associated with. So if we associate with people or foods in tamas, you know, if you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard, you know. And you know, you associate with people who eat meat, even vegetarians, you start eating meat again, you know, like that. So, the particular, when we associate with the material modes of nature, we literally infect ourselves with material disease or material desires, and then that must produce our next body. So once you infect a disease, you must suffer that disease. Once you infect the modes of material nature, we must suffer the result of associating with that modes of nature. It produces desires. So that cannot be changed. Those modes are always present. Therefore, Prabhupada says, you know, when he was in India, you know, he saw that there were people laying on the streets, the loafers, do nothing, like that, lazy. He went back 30 years later. He went to some particular city or something, and then he went back 30 years later, he said, there's still people. He said, because the modes are there, they'll always be there. But don't you be the person who associates with those modes. Then you become laying on the street. But those modes are always there. So, by hearing, by associating with spiritualists, what happens is gradually the modes of material nature, the tamas, reduces, then one maybe more predominantly in rajas, and then that disappears, and then one becomes more predominantly in sattva. There is control of the mind and the senses, and one, you know, enjoys understanding this knowledge to be able to serve Krishna properly on the liberated platform. And then by associating with devotees and associating with Krishna and associating with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Prasadam, all one's senses and one's desires become spiritualized. Then we have unlimited, you know, we can have unlimited spiritual desires, but they're all spiritual. So it's the association. And therefore, Prabhupada established this international society for Krishna consciousness so people could associate with Krishna and hear the Bhagavad Gita, hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, dance with the devotees, feast with the devotees, and by that association, their spiritual desires, you know, increase and the material desires disappear with that. But if we associate, and this is the, you know, so we're hearing this story of Paranjana. So as devotees, we must always be careful. Here, you know, we see that Paranjana by chance, you know, which means that we've explained that when we come of a certain age, naturally the body changes. We didn't mean to, but we start thinking of the opposite sex in different ways, like an enjoyable object. But also sometimes as a devotee, we're going about our business serving Krishna, and somehow or another, you know, we, you know, inadvertently come across the objects of the senses, and it attracts us, and we follow this path of Paranjana, you know, and become a bit entangled, and you know, develop material desires and what have you. But by the association, usually we're pulled out of that. I'll tell an interesting story, a little bit embarrassing, but you know, because before I was a devotee, I was somewhat of a hippie, used to love my music and what have you. And you know, one time I was I was doing sankirtan on the streets, and I walked past I was going past some shops. And in the shops they had a TV, and then there was the speakers, and there was a David Bowie concert. Right? So I was a very young devotee. Anyway, I stopped for a second to look. Oh, David Bowie, you know. So I just, of course, the material, you know, intelligence comes in. You know, I wonder what the next song is, you know. I watched the whole concert, you know. I stood on the street. I thought, my God, you know, I've wasted all this time. How did I get so entangled and lose all that time? So, you know, and then, oh my God, you know, because you just become attracted again, you know, these things just pop up in your heart. And so anyway, I went back to the temple and I was really lamenting. I wish I hadn't done that, you know, I was quite repentant. And I thought, you know, so then I picked up a magazine where it had an article by my spiritual master, and he was preaching about, you know, the senses and trying to engage with. And he specifically mentioned in this article, you know, about being attracted by music, by personalities like David Bowie. And I thought, there you go, that's Krishna. You know, of all the things, you know, that you just pick up at that time. You know, so that's the bhakti process that, and you know, we, and then we understand that, yes, we're endeavouring, and sometimes we get caught out, we end up like King Paranjana, but Krishna, if we're following Bhakti Yoga, Krishna, he will save us. Yeah. He will protect us. If it's accidental, yeah, he'll protect us. Yeah. So the Prabhupada, oh, do you have a question? Yeah, okay.
In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it says how we're contemplating a sense of the external one that was attraction for them, you know.
That's what happened to me.
So, yeah. So things like that which kind of take your mind away, song, whatever. So is it that you need them in the bud and going and let the mind contemplate all of them so that the chain reaction?
That's right, yes. That's right. That, so the idea, you know, is to, at this point, if Paranjana stops, okay, here's a material intelligence attracting me, stop right there. Don't go any further. Don't contemplate it. One, you know, once a contemplation starts, you get entangled. Yes, you know, you end up wasting a couple of hours a day, or you can waste the entire life. And unfortunately, you know, we do see sometimes devotees, you know, if they allow that, you know, contemplation, they can actually, it can spoil their whole devotional life for this whole life. So they're stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. But so, always keeping in the fire, Prabhupada says, you keep in the fire. And despite all the opposing elements, if you keep in the fire, sometimes when I have to light the ghee wick for the sacred fire, it's so windy that it's apparently impossible to keep it to light, even for me to get the blessing, what to speak of others. So what I do is I just hold my hand literally just in the fire, and it won't, you know, even sometimes it goes out for half a second and back reignites. So always keeping the fire of the association of devotees, always hearing Krishna, and that's the protection. And as soon as we step out of that a little bit, as Prabhupada said, Maya is right there. You know, one time a devotee was in I think it was America, and he said, Prabhupada, you know, last night, you know, suddenly the wind came, the window smashed. Is that Maya? And Prabhupada says, why do you think that Maya is just in the window? Everything is, Maya is everywhere. You know, as soon as we're in the tent, in the chanting, she's exactly there. And he said, as long as you keep chanting and doing your service, Maya can't touch you. This is it. So the Prabhupada ki jai.